From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his seventh message in a series expounding Isaiah chapter 53. The title of the message is Full Atonement. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. Before he comes, please enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Our Substance Blessed. The text is Deuteronomy 28 and verse 5. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Obedience brings a blessing on all the provisions which our industry earns for us. That which comes in and goes out at once, like the fruit in the basket which is for immediate use, shall be blessed, and that which is laid by with us for a longer season shall equally receive a blessing. Perhaps ours is a handbasket portion. We have a little for breakfast, and a scanty bite for dinner in a basket when we go out to do our work in the morning. This is well, for the blessing of God is promised to the basket. If we live from hand to mouth, getting each day's supply in the day, we are as well off as Israel. For when the Lord entertained his favored people, he only gave them a day's manna at a time. What more did they need? What more do we need? But if we have a store, how much we need the Lord to bless it. For there is the care of getting, the care of keeping, the care of managing, the care of using. And unless the Lord bless it, these cares will eat into our hearts, till our goods become our gods, and our cares prove cankers. O Lord, bless our substance. Enable us to use it for thy glory. Help us to keep worldly things in their proper places, and never may our savings endanger the saving of our souls. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Lord said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land and the apparent powerlessness of our churches cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in this urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, a humble attempt to promote explicit agreement and visible union of God's people in extraordinary prayer for the revival of religion and advancement of Christ's kingdom on earth. Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seek it seriously. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message, Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. As Dr. Cairns continues this series of studies in Isaiah chapter 53, he continues an exposition of verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. This verse contains the heart of the gospel message, the atonement which the Lord Jesus made on Calvary's cross. In the course of the message, Dr. Cairns is calling attention to three elements presented in the verse. First, we've seen how sinners are like straying sheep, wandering after the world and Satan's lies to their destruction. Today, Dr. Cairns describes the stubborn sinner, who, unwilling to follow God's way, insists on the ways of sin. In addition, we learn that verse 6 presents several aspects of the atonement. It was violent, for on the cross Christ suffered God's wrath against sin. It was also vicarious, for at Calvary Christ became the substitute for guilty sinners. Now with the next portion of a message called Full Atonement, here is Dr. Cairns.
Why do men go astray? Why do they err from the truth of God? It's in their very nature. But you see, there is always in men another reason. They don't reckon that this is just a perverted nature. When the sheep or the lamb is one side of the fence, and it looks out the other side, it always sees pastures that are sweeter, surroundings that are more alluring, things that promise much, and it's going after something better. You know, that's when sinners go astray. By nature they wander, but they are always looking for better pastures. The devil is always promising something better than the Bible has to offer, something better than God has to offer, something better than salvation, something better than this religious life, something better than going around Bible thumping. My, the devil offers you something better for yourself, better for your family, your children, your home. Everything will be better if you just follow the old serpent, the devil. Of course, it's a lie, but that's why men like sheep go astray. That's why they fly in the face of God. That's why they tramp the Bible under their feet. That's why they refuse the invitation of the gospel. The devil has them convinced that he has something better to offer. Of course, when they wander like sheep, they expose themselves to tremendous dangers. I don't know about the lamb that I talked to you of. I didn't stay around long enough to see how long it would live. I know that 30 seconds later it escaped by the skin of its teeth when another car came around the corner. And I know it couldn't be very long until either a dog came along and ravaged it or a car came along and killed it. It was exposed to great danger. That's what happens when men are wandering from the Lord. The straying sheep is peculiarly vulnerable. It's confused. It's open to danger. The straying sinner is always in a vulnerable condition. To stray apart from God's word, to turn your back on God's truth, to blind your eyes to the beauty of Christ, to deafen your ears to the call of the gospel, to kick over all the traces of biblical truth. I tell you, it opens you up to every kind of danger and satanic attack. All we like sheep have gone astray, foolishly, stupidly. Sheep are notoriously stupid animals. They wander. A dog will wander if it will have the sense to find its way back. But not a sheep. Foolish. Foolish because the greater the danger, the more it seems to expose itself. Oh, what a picture of sinners. The greater their danger, the greater they lay themselves open to that danger. And foolish also, because the only shepherd sinners follow is a hireling shepherd. a false shepherd. Jeremiah 50, verse 6, speaks of such shepherds. Ezekiel 34 speaks of such shepherds who will come and fleece you. Some of you in the meeting this morning are following leaders, following shepherds, maybe ministers, maybe religious shepherds, maybe worldly shepherds, but you're following. And I tell you, if you're not following Jesus Christ as your Savior, then the shepherd you do follow is out to fleece you. He's out ultimately to destroy you. This is what the text is speaking about. All we like sheep have gone astray. The straying sheep. But then it becomes a little more particular. He speaks of the stubborn sinner. We have turned every one to his own way. I was very interested as I studied this text. Turned. Turned is the verse, or the verb here. The root of that verb is the word face. Actually, to give it its literal force, when you turn, you set the face. Now contrast verse 3. We hid, as it were, our faces from Christ. But now there's the confession, hiding the face from Christ, we set our face in the direction of our own way. If you want to prove from Scripture that that is the literal force of the word, you'll see it in Isaiah 56 and verse 11. It's speaking of people, apostates, greedy dogs which can never have enough. They are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way. And it's the same Hebrew verb. They look to their own way. In our text, we turned everyone to his own way. It is setting the face to our own way. What is that way? Deuteronomy 31 and verse 18 uses the same word again, and it says they turned unto other gods. Here is the stubborn sinner. And I wonder, is it a description of some yet here today? Young people brought up under the sound of the gospel. Older people who have maybe thought they've outgrown the gospel. But what have you been doing? Two things. One, turning the face away from Christ. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. Deliberately averting your face, your gaze from Christ. Not willing to get down to the Bible. Not willing to study what God's word has to say to you. Not willing to come to listen to the gospel. Not willing to expose yourself to the influences of God's word. Turning away the face from Christ. And then looking to your own way. Turning the face not only away from Christ, but unto your own gods. Unto your own way. Unto your own lust. Unto your own sin, setting up your own idols. This is the stubbornness of sin. What a wicked, diabolical thing it is. If this text immediately said, and God cut them all off, I could understand it. If this text were immediately to proceed to the statement that when men hid their faces from Christ and turned their faces toward their own idols, God immediately in anger visited them with fire from on high and destroyed them in his fury, my, we would have to bow and say, God is righteous. But having spoken of the straying sheep and the stubborn sinner, he makes one of the most stupendous statements in all the Bible. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Here is a statement about atonement. There are three notes in that statement. There's a violent note. Laid on him. That's a fairly peaceful way of putting it.
The marginal reading is made to meet on him or in him the iniquities of us all. There's a lot of truth in that. That there was a concentration of all our sin and all its punishment in Christ. That God actually brought our sin to bear on Christ. That he made it to meet on Christ. That all the guilt and all the punishment of our sin actually made contact with Christ. But even that is much too peaceful a statement to give the full force of this. When you read in the Old Testament of a man falling upon another with the idea of slaying him, that's the idea here. That's the very same word. This statement is in many ways a ferocious statement. It's a violent statement. It is saying that God made all the guilt of our sin to fall upon Christ with all its great fury and with all its tremendous ferocity. Now, it's not to say that Christ became a sinner. He didn't. But it is to say he bore our iniquity. He took our legal responsibility. And the consequences of that was the furious outpouring of the wrath of a sin-hating God. He made our sin and its guilt to fall furiously upon Christ. It was a violent note. Obviously, there is a vicarious note. That is a note of substitution. Our sins were laid on Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God. Man's religion is always a religion of men trying first to ignore their sin, and second, if they admit it at all, trying to atone for it. You'll get those two elements in all human religion. Trying to shirk responsibility for sin. I'm not such a great sinner. I'm as good as he is. Comparing themselves with themselves, the apostle says, they're not wise. It's a foolish thing for you to say, well, I'm not as big a sinner as he is. It's a foolish thing for you to say, well, there's a man who says he's a Christian, and I'm just as good a person as he is. So what? If that hypocrite goes to hell, will it make hell any less hell because you're there beside him? Not at all. It's always stupid to try to shirk the responsibility of sin. But it's even more foolish, having admitted the responsibility of sin, to try and atone for it yourself. I was reading of a Roman Catholic nun who went through what they call flagellation, almost to the point of death. This happens again and again. Whipping the body with a leather tong with nails or lead through it. With the idea that if I only suffer because of my sin, then I'll please God. As if our suffering for our sin can ever wipe out the wrath of God and satisfy the law of God. It's impossible. Paul puts it plainly, it is not by works of righteousness that we have done. We cannot be saved on account of our works. He called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. This is his statement. But rather, if we're ever to be saved, it must be by the substitutionary work of Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.